Welcome to the Analytics at Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Now with the Super Bowl finally over, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their really stunning performance in terms of dominance. It was a very impressive game, and Kansas City just never got rolling. And I think it's one of those things that's really interesting in terms of when you look at the time to throw metric and the short passes, the less than 2.5 seconds, constantly see a pretty big uptick just across all quarterbacks in terms of their efficiency. And it was like 1.2 seconds more for Mahomes than it was for Brady. And that's a big thing. And the offensive line can, you know, not be good, but sacks are ultimately a quarterback stat. So that's interesting. It was just one of those things that really stuck out. So this episode is actually going to focus on some of the draft picks here. I was doing this up through the championship games. I didn't do it for the championship games because there was only two teams. And frankly, I didn't want to, you know, the nerves were still a little raw on the Bills loss. But you know, a couple weeks, it's good now. We're all good. All right. So Green Bay is going to pick 29th. They pick 29th, 62nd, and 93rd. They don't have an outright need that I would see at a skill position. I mean, if they were to add, you know, if they were to add a tight end, something like that, I think that's more of like a luxury pick. You know, if they went wide receiver, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. They haven't shown the inclination to do that with early picks, right? I think going back, I done some research a while ago. I don't think they've taken. It might be this century. It's been a really long time since they've taken a first round wide receiver. So again, that's not the same front office that's been there the entire time, but it is a trend, you know. And they've done pretty successfully with day two picks. Devontae Adams, as you remember, was a day two pick. So it was Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. So Ty Montgomery was actually a wide receiver pick that they made. And I believe, if memory serves, he was the last day two pick that they've taken at the receiver position. So, again, it's been something that they haven't really invested a lot in. You wonder if it's going to be maybe free agency. You know, they might have to pick between Aaron Jones and a wide receiver, right? Sort of how does that calculus all fit together? I'd be interested to see what they do there. So that's certainly a situation to watch. You know, tight end, we'll see with Robert Tonyan. I mean, I'm not sure that there's going to be someone in play for them at the end of that first round. Again, that probably isn't an immediate help, right? That's kind of what the concern is. And when you just look at the difference between what Tampa has done with Brady in terms of bringing in some of the help that they got, I mean, Fournette was great, and Antonio Brown scored a touchdown, right? And, you know, Gronkowski was great, right? And, you know, those are all guys that they just brought, you know, they're basically playing year to year with. And Green Bay's kind of refused to do that. And so, man, is that the difference between winning two more games? I mean, I don't know. But it's they certainly helped, right? Were they the decisive knockout blow? I'm not sure. But when you add it up, are they worth like a half a win? You know, they're worth more than that? I mean, very helpful here down the stretch in these past couple of games. So, you know, would Green Bay do something like that? I'm not sure. But, you know, they have been more like, hey, let's build for the long term. We're not going to necessarily worry about maximizing this window. And honestly, that's worked out from a floor perspective. Their floor has been pretty high, right? And you don't have some of the issues with, with kind of like the salary cap stuff for the Saints, right, and all that stuff. And they've sort of prided themselves on not going back and, you know, re-extending Rodgers and sort of tinkering with his deal so that way they can create more cap space. And then in the way Breeze is, right, it's a absolute landmine at the end of the line, right? Kind of like it was with Brady, kind of like it was with some of these, you know, Ben, right? All of those, you know, they haven't done that, which actually probably raises their floor long term, but probably caps some ceiling. So so we'll see, right? I wouldn't predict them to be a big push it all in draft pick. So if they went with some sort of developmental tight end or something, you know, at the end of the first round, I know there's a couple of guys that might sort of fit that aren't necessarily huge difference makers right away. That Yeah, that wouldn't necessarily be shocking. So we'll watch for that. But I would suspect they have some other needs that they could address. Probably not skill position. I wouldn't expect running back. And I don't know, maybe I would take in those three picks, I don't know, I'd probably take the half of a tight end or a wide receiver. The Buffalo Bills, this one's interesting because from a number of perspectives, you know, they've been talked about as a potential running back landing spot. I just can't see that being worthwhile. But they certainly need pass rush. They certainly need offensive line help, honestly, right? Running back isn't really something that they need. So that would be I think the place you could probably see it is wide receiver. John Brown, potential cap casualty. Gabriel Davis, I mean, I like him. Do I think he's a legit wide receiver too? Right, that's a little bit different of a question. Some of the yards per route run stuff, some of all that stuff, has me a little bit concerned with really what his ultimate, what his ultimate upside is in terms of being. It's a difference between being a contributor and kind of, you know, the way that maybe an Allen Lazard or Marquez Valdes-Scantling might be with if you brought in a Will Fuller, right? Like that's a difference in terms of their value compared to and their input and their impact with sort of playing that wide receiver three role as compared to them stepping into the wide receiver two. So you kind of see that wide receiver two or three. That situation kind of stagnates a little bit. And that's kind of what I wonder with Gabriel Davis. Does he sort of fit in more of that mold where, hey, he's a good wide receiver three. He does some situational stuff for us pretty well. But do we want to line him up and run 85% of snaps with him? I'm not sure about that. So that would be one that I'd watch for. I think the market's kind of embracing that wide receiver two label for him. I'm not sure that I'm totally there with him yet. So that would just be a caution that I would have with him. So if they were to go back to that well, right, we could see John Brown move on, be a cap casualty, be a potential guy just because of the salary cap stuff, he kind of has a down year. He's getting on the wrong side of the age curve, particularly for his pedigree. And, you know, he has been a guy that when you sort of look at his career to date, it has primarily been, 1 year, then some injuries, right? It hasn't been that consistent stuff. I love the player. I just question can you pay him as a wide receiver too? I think it's like $7-8 million, something like that. It's just going to be tough to do. So that would be the thing that I'd watch for them. You know, that might create some, that's actually probably going to create an opportunity to sell Gabriel Davis if you have him. It is probably going to create maybe a potential buying, a potential them as a target player there. Again, you have to go and beat Mahomes in Kansas City is kind of what your mantra is going to be. So protect your quarterback, get your quarterback weapons, or rush Patrick Mahomes, right? That's really your calculus. So I would be almost entirely what I'd be focused on if I was the Bills. So we'll see there again, tight end, maybe an option, right? They don't really have one. I just have a hard time seeing them go back to the well and running back. I know that's been mocked, but I have a hard time seeing that. All right, Kansas City Chiefs. Again, this is probably not a fair game to analyze them. I mean, heck, they went 14-2 and realistically it was 15-1. Well, it was 14-1 and then they played their backups. So you have that issue, of course. That doesn't really reflect their actual record. So that's where they stand. Obviously, it was in the Super Bowl. They lost two offensive linemen. I don't have a glaring need, right? They just addressed running back. They have an all-world tight end. They have a legit wide receiver one. There might be, again, then they have some guys at wide receiver. Sammy Watkins is probably not going to be back. Is Mecole Hardman a wide receiver too, right? Is that something that they might go and address? That would be something that I'd be interested in seeing. And I think it's probably something that not many folks are thinking about or talking about right now, but you could maybe see them address wide receiver on day two. You know, just keep sharpening your iron there. So that would be the thing. I mean, they need pass rush. They need, right? It's the same things that these elite teams can really make a difference with. But I wouldn't put it past them to address wide receiver here going forward. And then Tampa. So the good news is Bruce Arians says he's back. You know, he said that right after the game. So do we put 100% faith in that? I'm not sure you want to put 100% faith in that, but yeah, I would take it as pretty likely that he's going to be back. He says he's going to be back, and I have no reason to doubt him. Just be careful on some of the exuberance after a big win. Brady says he's going to be back. So that's a good start to a potential repeat. Is Gronk going to be back? You know, what's this mean for OJ Howard, right? What's this mean for, you know, what's the deal with Antonio Brown, Fournette? You have a lot of those questions, right? So you do have a lot of moving pieces. Chris Godwin's a free agent, right? So you could see a lot of changeover, or you could see little. You know, how to know how they're gonna piece that all together. It's going to be an interesting watch, right? So that would be the initial thing. I think there's a lot of moving pieces for a defending Super Bowl champion. And when a team is put together like this, like I mentioned before, kind of the anti-Green Bay, which is like, hey, let's capture some ceiling right now. We have this great quarterback. We have this window where we've got these guys. You know, and Godwin on a good contract, right? We sort of got Gronkowski at kind of a discount, right? We've got these some of these young guys on our defense, right? You know, let's press our chips in and go for this. Well, that can create a lot of uncertainty heading into the offseason, right? Antonio Brown for sure, Fournette for sure, you know, Gronkowski. So you have three guys at three skill positions that you have questions about. I would say, you know, and I looked at this, and I was listening to a podcast this week, and they were talking a lot about the player props. And it's something I really want to think about more next year in terms of, you know, maybe we bet them or maybe we incorporate them into our analysis, something like that. But I will say the one thing that was really jumped off the page was how little usage Ronald Jones gets in the passing game. So you had playoff Lenny, you know, really doing both. And he is a good two-way player, and people don't give him that credit. You know, can they afford him? And it was something like 2.6 yards over expectation per carry in this game, which is just an outrageous amount of yards over expectation. You know, he had three of the four playoff games that they had. He was well over expectation. He had one game that wasn't good. I think that was their second game. I believe I was just looking at it earlier. I believe that was the game between Washington and I think it was against the Saints, if memory serves, that he was below expectation. But other than that, really good playoff run. And, you know, I talked about this in a show that's going to be released. I'm jumping this one ahead of the line of a couple of the ones that I actually have in the pool to be released. He's like, when you look at what his comps are, so Spotrac runs an analysis of these players and really, does like some market analysis. And I point out in that actual podcast, some of the questions that I have with that, right? I think the analysis is a little flawed because I don't think it's necessarily adjusting for the cap situation that we currently have in the NFL. So with the COVID stuff, with all of the concerns about, you know, the drop in the salary cap and all that stuff, we are going to have a lower number. So when we're comparing the Leonard Fournette stats against, you know, some of the prior guys. So whether that's you know, Melvin Gordon was one of the comps that kept coming up in all the analysis that I looked at. But when you look at some of these guys, you don't have the same, it's not the same salary cap situation. So they projected him to be like $8.2 million. And when you comp him against some of the guys that actually had, you know, free agent contracts, it's pretty wild about how on par with them he is from a per game basis, right? So, some of the stench there about some of the off-field stuff and some of the behavioral stuff with him, he's looked like he's been a good citizen this year. Again, he didn't get along with Doug Marrone, which I don't know who can really hold that against him. So all that's to say, I think there's a wide range of outcomes for him. So whether it's back in Tampa Bay, right, that might open, maybe creates kind of more of a muddled situation again. If he leaves, right, does he, you know, I can't go away from thinking about him in Atlanta, right, about what that would look like. You know, So we'll see. But there is a lot of uncertainty with this team. So I think it's tough to say really on draft needs and that sort of stuff where these teams are, where particular Tampa is out of the final four teams. They have the most uncertainty in terms of all those positions. So they're going to be a really fascinating watch. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We are on to the offseason officially here. So until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.